think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Back in the saddle at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to roll on in hour number two. Always a pleasure to have back with us for our MLB news and notes, my man, Andy Pondillo. How are you, Andy? Did you have a good July 4th?
I had a splendid one, and everything's going great. You know, all-star season's here. We're past halfway point of baseball, so a lot of fun to be had. So.
I know you've got your calendar marked for Tuesday, the all-star game. Give me your take on the AL and the NL rosters. What do you think?
Well, I definitely like the National League roster as a whole much better.
Okay.
But I think that's just conducive of what the leagues are like right now. I think the National League is a much stronger league, and we've seen that turn kind of gradually change in the last couple of years. I wouldn't say that there's a lot of really powerful teams in baseball right now. Everybody's kind of gravitated towards the middle. It's kind of the NFL model where there's a lot of parity. But if there are teams that I'm going to pick to win the World Series, right now most of them are coming from the National League. I'm probably picking four NL teams before I'm picking one AL team. It's that dramatic of a switch. So I'm more interested to see the NL, though. When you get these games, I mean, it's a one-game series. Anything can happen. It doesn't really mean one league is better than the other if they win the game.
Are you a big fan of the All-Star game and all the festivities? Do you get into it? I mean, because I know you're a diehard MLB fan.
Not as much as I used to. When I was a little kid, it was really big to me. But, you know, we got the usual people griping over to guys left out on the roster. You got to fill out the roster with one guy from all 30 teams, which usually adds a dynamic to it. You got the home run derby where half the guys want to participate and half of them don't. So it's all right. It's something I watch. It's entertaining, but, you know, it's kind of like watching a 7 o'clock sitcom on a Tuesday night. You kind of just watch it. It's nothing that you get real excited for.
Well, it gives us something to talk about on the radio.
It definitely gives you a lot to talk about, a lot to debate every time there's an all-star game that rolls around.
Okay, I've got to ask you this, Andy. Do you think the voters got it right after the Kansas City?
Well, finally they neutered that down to four guys making the team. As offensive players, also two relief pitchers. They got six players on the team. That's entirely too much. Ned Yost brings his own two pitchers. Of course, he would do that. And then you also have the four guys in the starting lineup. Salvador Perez, not an all-star. He's definitely not a starting
all-star. You don't think he is?
He's a good catcher, but when you have Steven Vogt and you have Russell Martin in the same league, these guys have put up phenomenal years. And Perez, he's put up a pretty good season and pretty good doesn't compare versus phenomenal. So that was a bit of a stretch. Alex Gordon, another good player. The sabermetricians will tell me that he's one of the best players in all of baseball when you add in his defense. And he's certainly a cornerstone for the Royals. I don't know if he's an all-star. But, you know, these guys, none of them that made it are bad players. They're all good. Is this that you really need to have six of them on the team? Probably not.
Okay, Andy Pondillo with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always adds some spice to our summer. And how about Albert Pujols? I mean, as the starting first baseman, that's kind of a blast from the past. And I also like the fact that he's participating in the home run derby.
Yes, it seems like he's found the fountain of youth. And really, that's been the story of the American League. When you look at this all-star team, you see a lot of young faces on the all-star rosters. But with the American League, the first base situation, Miguel Cabrera having his big year as always, but he gets hurt. You have Albert Pujols, Mark Teixeira, Prince Fielder. All these guys drank from the fountain of youth this season, and they all get into the All-Star game. So that's kind of an interesting story there, the first base dynamic. Pujols and home run derby, I think that's good for baseball. It's a blast from the past. He was the guy for so many years in St. Louis. You don't hear about him like he used to with him playing on the same team as Mike Trout. He goes into the home run derby. Should be fun. I think it's fun for Angels fans to see that guy finally succeed with the team. You know, they've had him for a couple years now. He's been good, but he hasn't been Albert Pujols, and he's starting to look like Albert Pujols again.
Okay, Andy Pondillo, of course, is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Reach out to our audience, Andy, how they can connect with you.
That's climbingtowelshill.com. The podcast is Astro Chat.
Okay, it's our news and notes with our All-Star game coming up on Tuesday. So the utility man, Brock Holt, I mean, that's kind of a bizarre pick from the Red Sox. I mean, that came out of nowhere.
It really did come out of nowhere because I feel like Xander Bogaerts could have been that pick, and Xander's having a great year for the Red Sox. He's on the final vote now for the Red Sox, but you know, he's a guy that can play shortstop. He played third base his first year with the Sox. He's a guy that could probably even play at second base, so he serves as the same type of player that Brock Holt does, and Brock Holt's not even, you know, much of a regular starter. Having a fantastic season with the Red Sox, it's just, I don't know really where that pick came from. It might have been a player vote. I could see the players voting that guy in because they seem to like those utility guys that do a little bit of everything. But Xander being left off and Brock, when you have to put in one representative from the Red Sox, was a bit of an odd move to me.
Who do you hope puts on a show and really stands out in the All-Star game?
I'm going Paul Goldschmidt. I mean,
okay.
This guy,
why?
Is pound for pound the most complete hitter in the National League. Probably may even, you can make the case for baseball. Last year, he's having a fabulous year. He got hurt. Year before, he put up MVP numbers, but played in Arizona, so the MVP went to Andrew McCutchen. But you know, Paul Goldschmidt, this guy is an amazing hitter, not only with the power. You see those home runs, and that's what everybody likes to talk about, but the high average, high on base, OPS, everything. This guy is as premium of a pure hitter as you're going to find in baseball. I feel like sometimes we lose how good pure hitters are when they hit a lot of home runs because you think of them just for their power. But Paul Goldschmidt, he does everything at the plate. So I hope he, you know, I haven't seen if he's going to try to get in the home run derby or not. I would like to see him do it. I'd like to see him bat third in this National League lineup and, you know, really get some people on board with him. And a hometown kid, too, up here in the Woodlands where he grew up.
Oh, nice. Okay, so the AL, the NL, who do you think has the most depth within their roster?
I think National League definitely has the most depth. You can't really go wrong with these teams. We talked about the Royals issue. They're good players. They're not horrible. It's just I would have gone a different direction. National League just seems like they have more swag on that team.
Uh-huh,
I mean,
okay.
These guys, you got Bryce Harper, Goldschmidt, D. Gordon having a phenomenal year. I mean, the youth that you see in the National League is just amazing right now. And I think that eventually all these superstars that you see over in this league might continue to sway those league dynamics to where the NL becomes the power league again at some point. Maybe, I don't know if they're fully there, but we remember for year after year after year, the American League was substantially better than the National League, and I think that's finally starting to change where they've evened out some. And yeah, now the old man's league has finally started to turn the corner, so I'm interested to see these young guys. And you know, Bryce Harper's the guy, hands down the MVP of all of baseball right now, and definitely will win it in the National League.
You know, it's interesting. Just a moment ago, I was asking you who you were looking to have a breakout game and most looking forward to, and you were talking about Paul Goldschmidt. But what I hear you saying is just this bevy of all these young, talented players that are up and coming. I mean, they're really making an impact and a difference.
There's a lot of players under 25 making a difference right now in Major League Baseball. And it's really good for the game, especially the offensive players, because they come up a little different. They come to the major leagues in a sabermetrics era where maybe a David Ortiz or some of these older players, you know, they put a shift on. They can't figure out how to beat the shift. I mean, they can put, you know, every single infielder on one side of the field, and these guys cannot figure out how to hit it the other direction on the ground. You're seeing these young players that maybe have a different approach. Maybe they know how to win during these times where it's so heavy towards pitching and defense and that type of game, and they're finding success at the plate where a lot of the veterans have plummeted in their numbers since the sabermetrics, the math guys have taken over. So it's going to be fascinating to see if this youth movement continues, if they can find ways to make adjustments to hit during an extreme pitcher's era. And you know, you look at these guys again, Goldschmidt, Bryce Harper, D. Gordon now. I don't know why the Dodgers wanted to let him go, but they traded him to the Marlins. And, you know, these are going to be fun guys to watch as time goes on. Giancarlo Stanton, you know, that is what we're really being cheated out of this season at the All-Star game. 27 home runs. He put him and Goldschmidt, Stanton, Harper. It would have been one of the best young 3-4-5s that we would have seen in All-Star history. That would have been special. Unfortunately, he gets hurt.
Okay, we're getting ready to go to commercial break. Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We talk about this crop of young players versus the older players. What's their approach to the game? Is it different so that they have longevity, they don't get burnt out, and they stay injury-free?
I think the new player right now that you're starting to see is more of the athlete. You know, even we didn't even mention Yasiel Puig because he's been injured a lot this year. But you see these guys come up, and they're just monster athletes. They're guys that probably played multiple sports. They're guys that can steal a base, guys that can win a gold glove. I feel like it's more of the 90s style of baseball. Not the late 90s, where everyone's bashing home runs, but you know, 80s, 90s, where you used to see more athletes come up. I felt like for a time there, people call it the roids era. People call it whatever they want. But there was a lot of just let's sit back and wait for the home run ball. And when the home run ball stopped going over the wall, a lot of teams started having trouble scoring runs. So now I think you're starting to see these guys come up as better athletes and succeeding at the plate as well. You could be a great athlete, but you still got to hit the ball. If you're seeing more five-tool players coming up to the major leagues as offensive players, you know, it's still challenging teams for depth right now. There's a lot of teams that don't have a lot of depth offensively. There's a lot of teams that have a good 1, 2, 3, 4 in the lineup, and then it falls off the map right after it. So it's still a pitcher's game. It's still a defensive game. But I do start seeing these young offensive players making a difference. That's good for everybody in baseball.
We're getting you ready for the All-Star Game coming up next week with Andy Pondillo, our very own at YSR MLB News and Notes. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined with Andy Pondillo. We're going to head out to the AL West. Stay close. Okay, we're back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always a pleasure to bring you the biggest and best. We've got Andy Pondillo back with us in studio. In our first segment, we were hitting on the All-Star Game on Tuesday. Now let's transition. Let's talk about the AL West. And Andy, the Angels, they're playing really good baseball following the resignation of general manager Jerry DePoto.
Yeah, it's interesting that that got them sparked, but I think that they've had a fairly good roster through the year. There's been a lot of turmoil over in LA, not living up to expectations. They obviously don't have Josh Hamilton. Matt Joyce hasn't worked out very well in the middle of the order, but yet they still have a formidable pitching staff. Their bullpen's above league average. This isn't a bad team. And what DePoto did is he organized a meeting with all the players, left the coaches out of it. That was kind of odd, and it's a good way to force yourself into resignation, I guess is what they call it. So Angels are going to be tough in the second half. They're not going to be a team that's just going to fade away. Some people, I think, believe the Astros are going to win that division by default because it's been a disappointing division this season. Though that also adds to win totals. The Astros and the Angels can boost their win totals off beating up on bottom feeders. So it's going to be fun. I don't think the Astros will go untested in this division.
Do you view Anaheim as the biggest threat to the Houston Astros?
At this point, yes. I thought Seattle was going to be much better this season. I guess they still have time to turn it around. There's always going to be one team in the second half of baseball that nobody sees in the race that's going to turn this thing around or going to get right back in it. Whether that gets them to the playoffs or not, they can definitely spoil some teams' dreams by doing it. So, you know, every team really in this division isn't completely out of it. You see that big old 10 games back number, and it looks horrible. But let's not forget, there's been teams that have come back from 7 games back in a matter of 3 weeks to conclude the season. So a lot of teams are always in the race. I think Anaheim's really, if you were a betting man, the only legitimate team that can make a comeback on the Astros right now. The other teams just have too many holes to really fill, and I don't think they could fill it with one or two players at the trade deadline.
Okay, the Angels, the Astros. Talk to me about the Rangers. We've got a lot of fans out there.
Yeah, Rangers, I think they are what they are, and they're right around 500. I think that's where we're going to see them finish this year, and that's not going to be enough to win the division, obviously. A lot of people link them to Cole Hamels. You know, they get Cole. Let's say they get Hamels. That's going to be absolutely dynamic next year if you had Cole and Yu Darvish pitching. But there's still a lot of holes on this team. They're aging. Shin-Soo Chu, they're already trying to trade Shin-Soo Chu from what I read in reports. And, you know, he was just signed as a free agent last year to a $100 million deal. Why would someone want to come to this organization when John Daniels picks up a player and he's ready to trade them the next season? Why, as a free agent, why do I want to come to this team? Because it seems like since they were one strike away from the World Series, I don't know if there's been much of a direction with the Rangers. It's been, let's fill holes with free agents and hope it works. Jerks and Profar getting hurt for 2 straight seasons was a tough blow. The number one prospect at the time he came up to the Rangers. I don't know if I understand the direction of this team. They didn't want to pay Ian Kinsler when he was about to be a free agent. Instead, they traded him off. Prince Fielder's having a nice year, but Ian was such a big part of that team when they were winning. They pay Elvis Andrus for some reason $100 million. That was kind of a head scratcher to me. So I don't know. I think the Rangers, I wouldn't say they're a bad team in the long term. They're probably not going to be a bad team, but do they have enough? I don't know. They try and patch these holes. It just doesn't work for them.
Okay, so when you mentioned John Daniels, what does he lack in terms of his leadership? Is just not being patient?
I feel like they had so many years of success where they get to the World Series twice. And the thing I've always questioned about the Rangers is they let Cliff Lee, after they make that World Series run in 2010, they let him go to the Phillies. If they have Cliff Lee in 2011, I think this team is unstoppable in postseason play. I would have overpaid him at that point in time, whatever it took. It wouldn't have mattered what it took to keep him. I would have paid Cliff Lee because that team was absolutely loaded in 2010, 2011. So it always scratches my head to why they wouldn't pay him. Josh Hamilton looks like they dodged a bullet and then they got him back, but they didn't want to pay him either. They didn't want to pay C.J. Wilson, which a lot of people probably would agree you shouldn't, though sometimes you got to overpay a little bit for middle-of-the-rotation pitchers. Everybody's got to have them. They let him go to the Angels, and one guy they pay is Elvis Andrus. The other guy they decide to pay is they get Prince Fielder in a trade, and they offer, you know, they got to be on the line to pay him over $100 million. So it's always been suspect who they decide to pay over there and who they don't decide to pay. And then you got an aging Adrian Beltre, Joey Gallo's the main prospect assist to relieve him. I don't know. This team could be good. They're a confusing team to me. I don't see it. I think their bullpen's horrible.
Andy Pondilla with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Got about 60 seconds. Talk to me about the Mariners. What's going on with them? They're kind of a disaster.
No top of the order at all. Yeah. They have Logan Morrison leading off. They've had Seth Smith leading off. They have no leadoff man. They have no two-hitter. Austin Jackson is not the answer up there. Robinson Cano's having a horrible season. Really, it's just a mess over in Seattle, and I think Lloyd McClendon is going to get fired because of it. I don't see him making it into next season. Now, Seattle still has a good core, a lot of good young pitching, maybe a few moves in the offseason to right back at it. I'd have more faith in them being able to reload than I would the Rangers for next season, but you've got to have a leadoff man in today's game.
Okay, so the trading deadline is approaching, and we'll get into that next week with our very own Andy Pondilla right here at YSR. What a great way to kick off our number two. Thank you so much, Andy.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close. Join us online. We would love to hear from you at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and we will be right back with much, much more in hour two. Elissa Walker-Campbell back with you inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio on this July 4th weekend. So far tonight, we have had a ton of NBA talk and how teams are looking to stay relevant and competitive with the free agency frenzy. We're going to change things up a bit. We're going to head to Norman, Oklahoma, focus our attention on some college football. Always a pleasure to have back with us from OU Insider and 1400 KREF, my man, James Hale. What's your outlook as far as the forecast with the Big 12? Obviously, the Bears and TCU, they're at the top, but what about the depth within this conference?
Well, I think the depth's really pretty good. I know a lot of people look at it and think that Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State all have questions, and maybe they do a little bit. But, you know, Baylor also lost some key personnel. I mean, you lose your quarterback that, you know, could start in the first year in the NFL and Bryce Petty. You know, and I know they've done a pretty good job, and I agree Art Briles and his offense, he's got it going, and he's been able to replace, you know, the quarterbacks in back-to-back years when he went from a Heisman Trophy winner to a guy that was in the mix. And, you know, will he be able to do it again with Seth Russell? Then, of course, TCU lost some key personnel as well. But you just figure they'll rebuild on defense, even they lost three starters. And, you know, Gary Patterson has that kind of track record. But Oklahoma does not have his momentum. I mean, Oklahoma got whipped pretty bad in the bowl game by Clemson. Then they lost in a fluke against Oklahoma State. They had no momentum. You're seeing that in recruiting. You know, but they've had a pretty good spring. And the new influx of new coaches has brought a breath of fresh air with Lincoln Riley as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, you've got Dyer Reynolds on defense, and you've got Kerry Cooks on defense. And that allows Mike Stoops to be kind of a CEO of the defense and oversee everything instead of coaching a position for the most part, even though he will be in charge of outside linebackers. In Oklahoma State, they have a promising young quarterback that everybody's high on. They have one of the best defensive ends, so does Baylor. Baylor has one of the top offensive tackles. And then, of course, Texas, if they can find a quarterback, everybody knows they'll be pretty formidable, even though they've lost a lot of players just because they haven't fit into what Coach Strong wants to do. So I think there's depth here, and I haven't even mentioned Kansas State yet, and you never bet against Bill Snyder. So I think there's some depth in it. Texas Tech, they'll throw it around with Coach Kingsbury. And, you know, so, yeah, I think there's depth in the conference, and maybe it's a better conference than people want to give it credit for right now.
OU insider James Hale with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And talking about the Oklahoma Sooners, they're looking to get back to their winning ways. A disappointing season. They finished what unranked. You were talking about momentum. What else do you think has been missing within this program?
Well, it's quarterback play. You know, they had great quarterback play with Landry Jones. And just like Baylor is assuming, hey, we'll just keep running them out there and they'll keep being really, really good. Well, Trevor Knight has been very hot and cold and too inconsistent to really be a winning quarterback at this level. So they need good quarterback play. If they get good quarterback play, whether it's Trevor, Baker Mayfield, or, you know, Cody Thomas, whoever it is, if they get good quarterback play, look out. I mean, Oklahoma's got the best running back core in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a much improved wide receiver core that they've got a sleepish smile on inside the office, because last year they weren't that good at receiver, but OU's usually really good at receiver. And with Sterling Shepard healthy, the addition of D.D. Westbrook, the emergence of Mark Andrews, the health of Micaiah Quick, the steadiness of Deron Neal, and then some promising young guys like John Humphrey and Jeffrey Mead and Smallwood and people like that, they think they're going to be really good at receiver. And they're banking that Bill Beanbow will work his magic and take a talented but young offensive line and really put them together. But they can do all those things, Dee, and get poor quarterback play, and they would be liable to lose 3 or 4 or 5 games this year. If they get good quarterback play, though, they're in every game that they're going to be in. They won't be out of the game because they've got enough weapons around that quarterback that he doesn't have to do it himself. What he can't do is beat himself, which is what Trevor did some last year. But I'm going to bank on Trevor growing up, becoming better, learning more. And, of course, Baker, I've always been a Baker Mayfield fan, so whoever wins that job I think will be a more efficient quarterback than they had last year.
Well, the Sooners looking for some clarity with the quarterback position, but let's get up close and personal. Tell me more about Baker Mayfield. You said you've been a fan of his. What are some of those early impressions? Because he's obviously made a lot of headlines, and he's not even taken a Sooner snap.
Well, he's always been a mystery to me. In other words, why didn't he get a scholarship coming out of high school? Instead, he walks on at Texas Tech, and not only does he walk on, he wins the quarterback job and becomes the Big 12 Offensive Freshman of the Year. Now, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. And then Tech doesn't want to keep him. They basically run him off. So they decide to come to Oklahoma right after Trevor Knight puts on a show in the Sugar Bowl. So that shows me he's got moxie, he's got confidence, he's cocky, and yet he's humble when you talk to him. And I like that about him. I like the fact that he became a walk-on starting quarterback in the Big 12. And even though his stats weren't amazing, they were good enough, they were pretty good, to give you hope in the future that he'll be really good. He's real intelligent. He's going through some shoulder fatigue right now, so I think they're going to shut him down for a week to 10 days here in the summer. But that happens a lot to quarterbacks or pitchers who's throwing a lot, and they throw so much in the summer now. It's not going to be a problem in training camp, or they don't expect it to be. And he's got a good head on his shoulders, so, yeah, he's going to be tough to beat. Trevor Knight's really talented. Trevor might be even a better athlete than Baker, but it's close, but he can outrun him in a 40 and maybe outjump him and things like that. But Baker's got the intangibles you look for in a winning quarterback, and he's pretty salty under center.
Okay, James Hale from OU Insider and 1400 KREF in Norman, Oklahoma. James, reach out to our audience how they can connect with you and check out your work.
Well, you know, it's OUinsider.com. They can always find us there. And, of course, you can listen at SportsTalk1400.com from 11 to 2 every day Central Time. And I'm Jay Hale, 21, I think it is, on Twitter.
Yes.
24. It's one of those. So, you know, and it shows you about Twitter. Twitter's fine. I know you're good on Twitter, E, but, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out, you know. So, anyway, it's something like that.
Okay, so Oklahoma, they've hired this new offensive coordinator. You mentioned him, Lincoln Riley. What set him apart from some of the other candidates that Bob Stoops was looking at potentially?
Bob Stoops has always felt the toughest defense for him to defend was the air raid offense of Hal Mumme. And his first offensive hire was Mike Leach, who was a disciple of Hal Mumme. And that first year, the Sooners threw it around. They lost 5 games, but it was so much better than they did in the Blake era that they really thought things were going in the right direction. when Mike left the Texas Tech, they went to Mark Mangino, who did a great job of reinstalling the running game with the air raid, and they had the perfect balance and won the national title. Since then, the Sooners have had kind of variances of the air raid, but they've always had an Adrian Peterson or DeMarco Murray or Alan Patrick or somebody they could feed the ball to. So they became more of a pro-set offense, really. And after what happened last year, then 2 years ago, they had to go to four wides because their tight ends got hurt. And you know, they got a little bit of away from their basic premise. And I think what Bob was looking to do was just to, you know, they tried the quarterback veer last year, and it was a disaster. And I think he just wanted to get back to what Oklahoma does best, which is throw the football and then turn around and hand the ball to one of those great tailbacks and tell him to run behind a 320-pound offensive line. And what Lincoln Riley does, he's the best young coach out there that does that. And Bob found him. He's at East Carolina. He did a great job at East Carolina. He became kind of an urban legend when he was a young coach at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just the best guy out there to bring that offense back. I think he's got to run some out of it with those running backs. I think that's what you got to do. And I think he will. And I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
I know you've spent some time around Lincoln Riley. I mean, what's kind of the vibe that you get off of him? I mean, does he have the ability to recruit and help attract some of that top talent into Norman?
Well, he's a great recruiter, to be honest. He's already got a great quarterback coming in for 216 and Austin Kendall, and an outstanding one, Chris Robinson, out of Horn High School in Mesquite, Texas, for 217. So, you know, those quarterbacks notice those numbers that they're putting up and the way that they're throwing the ball around, and they certainly pay attention to that. You know, he's got a quiet confidence about him. It's a cockiness, but it's not an abrasive cockiness. But he's confident, and Bob's given him the run of the offense, and he's confident enough to tell Bob to leave him alone. That if he does, he'll produce numbers and he'll produce yards, and that's what they're doing. And he's been a breath of fresh air. He's been aggressive on the recruiting front. He's not afraid to help out other coaches. He'll recruit offensive linemen, wide receivers, defensive tackles. I mean, he. Really settling Oklahoma. He's been a big asset to Oklahoma so far.
Okay, our Big 12 conference breakdown, zeroing in on the Oklahoma Sooners, our good friend of the show, James Hale from OU Insider and KRE F1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. James, have a wonderful weekend. Can't wait to catch up. Thank you. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As a reminder, listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamYSR.com. That's streamYSR.com. Normal data rates apply. Okay, so the NBA Summer Hoop Fest, it continues right here at YSR. Time now to pot up the mic. We're going to bring in our producer, Joe George, who loves his Cubbies, but we didn't bring him on to talk about the Cubbies because I know he is a diehard Bulls fan. We've already hit on a lot of NBA talk tonight, but we're going to zero in on the Bulls. Good evening, Joe.
Good evening, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a very busy week, a lot of action taking place with free agency, and obviously with the Chicago Bulls. We've got to zero in on the Eastern Conference. Do you view them still as one of the elite teams and as a potential contender?
Well, you know, I mean, clearly the Cavs are the number one team going in next year, basically keeping everyone, assuming that I think it's pretty safe to say LeBron's going to re-sign. He's not going to go anywhere else. So then to me, the next tier of teams is clearly, you know, the Atlanta Hawks. They're not going to be as good as they were this year. They'll be good, but just not as good. The Washington Wizards, yeah, they lose Paul Pierce, but I really like the addition of Kelly Oubre from Kansas. He could be a good fit later in the season. Right away, he probably will struggle. But then, and there's also Miami will be much, much better next year. Milwaukee and Chicago. And somewhere Chicago fits into that mess because I think that's what the East is next year. They may not be as good as the West, but finally the East is going to start beating each other up a little bit before the playoffs.
Well, I'm anxious to talk with you about the Milwaukee Bucks, but right now as we zone in on the Chicago Bulls, I mean, what's your perception in terms of what they've been able to do in free agency so far?
Well, they really, the things that's kind of nice this year is they haven't done anything. They brought back Mike Dunleavy, they brought back Jimmy Butler, and they just re-signed Aaron Brooks to a one-year deal, and Kirk Heinrich is returning as well. So they're just bringing back the exact same rosters they had last year. Right now, the only guy left off is Naz Muhammad, and they brought in Bobby Portis. And I think what this roster is looking at doing is similar to what the Warriors did. They kept the same exact roster. They just fired Mark Jackson, brought in Steve Kerr, and it worked out really well for them. And that's what the Bulls are doing. They fired Tom Thibodeau. They bring in Fred Hoiberg, and now they're clearly going in the direction of being small because Bobby Portis gives them the option to play him at the three and the four. Mirotić can play the five at times. If they want to go really small, they could do that. So I think they're just trying to use the same lineup, and they think the coach was clearly the problem.
Okay, Joe George is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, one of our producers right here at YSR. So what are you saying, that Fred Hoiberg, he could be the Steve Kerr? Is he going to win 67 games? Is he going to bring the Chicago Bulls a title? Come on, dream big here.
I would love to see it. I mean, you know, Tom Thibodeau doesn't utilize guys that in the way that some other coaches would. I look at Doug McDermott as the key. Even though he was a rookie last year, he can hit a three-point shot. You know he can. He's going to be one of the most effective three-point shooters in the NBA going forward when he's open. And I think Fred Hoiberg, this team has been so focused on defense that they're going to have so much more fun this season just playing offense. They're going to shoot a lot of threes with Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Aaron Brooks, Kirk Heinrich, Nikola Mirotić, Bobby Portis. They're going to be able to shoot the three ball. And Doug McDermott and Tony Snell improved a lot last year as well. So I think they're going to try to do the Warriors mentality. I think they're going to go for it. I don't know if they'll get there because the Cavs will be in their way. But I thought the same thing about the Warriors because I thought the Spurs were going to be in their way. And I was wrong about that one.
Well, Joe, you know, a lot of curiosity on my part as far as just the approach, the style, how Coach Hoiberg will be different than Tom Thibodeau. Because, you know, he had a lot of folks talking about that, you know, he just ran his players into the ground. They were just exhausted by game time.
Yeah. That's not going to happen with Hoiberg, I don't think. He's going to run this team. They're going to run up and down the court and score a lot of points and still play defense because guys like Jimmy Butler, he's still one of the best defenders in the league, as is Joakim Noah when he's healthy. Taj Gibson, very good on defense as well. And Gasol in this system will be interesting to see on how Hoiberg can utilize him and what his exploits will be against other teams for Gasol. So, yeah, I think this team's just going to be run and gun, and I think he's going to finally – I think the Bulls players will catch a break because – that's one of the reasons why Tom Thibodeau got fired is because he ran his guys into the ground. Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler, especially like Luol Deng when he was here. And I'm sure they were like, Fred, you're not allowed to do this. Like, you have to give your guys a break. You have three point guards. You have like three shooting guards, three small forwards. This team is 13, 14 deep right now. I'm still trying to figure out who's going to be the guy that doesn't get to play because right now they've got an odd man out on the roster on the top 12.
Hey, Joe George with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can find us on Twitter at eRadio Sports. Love to hear from you. Email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Joe, pause and tell the listeners across the country where they can check you out.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at JG1880, and then I do a podcast once a week. You can find that on SoundCloud.com/JG1880.
Outstanding. Okay, so Fred Hoiberg, as we talk about the Chicago Bulls. He was a 10-year NBA veteran, and he inherits obviously a strong roster. Do you think he's the guy, though, that can take them to that next level? I mean, they got to beat the Cavs.
I think he's the right guy right now. I don't think there was a better option, and really that's the thing going forward.
You don't? I mean, not like an Alvin Gentry? I mean, they didn't pursue him.
They did go after Alvin Gentry. At first, he was considered, but I think, you know, Alvin did his thing with the Warriors, and I thought at first maybe he wasn't going to be available, and sometimes you're looking for fresh blood. See, like, Alvin Gentry's been in the league for a while like Tom Thibodeau was. Mm-hmm. And I think they were worried they were going to run into some of the
same. Like a fresh voice, a fresh perspective?
Yeah, they're getting a fresh voice, a fresh perspective, and someone they can bully. At the end of the day, I think that's what Fred Hoiberg is. He's someone that is a good coach, but he will have to listen to the management because if he doesn't, he will be back at Iowa State in no time. So he's going to have to follow their lead.
Okay, Joe George with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Got to ask you this about Derrick Rose. Can he return to his all-star form?
Yes, I definitely think Derrick can. He showed that last year that he can play very effectively. He showed it in the playoffs. When he had 2 days off rest, he was averaging 24 points a game. When he had one day off, he was averaging less than 15 in the playoffs. And that's how it was towards the end of the season as well. What Derrick's going to be going forward is going to look very similar to Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade had the meniscus removed from his knee. Mm-hmm. And so at times he could put up 30 points a game, but then he would have this stretch where he needs 2 or 3 days off in like 2 weeks. And I think that's what Derek's going to need going forward. He's going to need rest. So yes, Derek can be an all-star if he can get his jump shot figured out because driving to the paint is still going to be his biggest asset. But if he can shoot the three ball, that will definitely finally help him out.
Okay, provide some insight as far as the dynamic between Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of rumors in terms of the friction between the two. Is there any conflict going on there?
I would assume no, because the simple fact that Jimmy Butler could have signed an offer sheet with the Lakers or any other team for 3 years – for $50 million. Instead, he chose to stay in Chicago and commit for 5 years. If he signed it with the Lakers, the Bulls were going to match it, but then he would have been gone in 3 years. He could have moved on. Signing this five-year commitment with the Bulls, I think it shows that Jimmy knows he wants to be here. He doesn't have an issue with Derek. And at the same time, I think he knows that he is now the face of this franchise. And then at some point in time, Derrick Rose's contract is going to end. And Jimmy Butler might be the guy, the core guy, going to the future. And I think that's what they should do. They need to start focusing on Jimmy, not Derrick.
Okay, let's move ahead. Let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. Tell you what, their stock continues to rise. What have you seen that they've done in the offseason that's impressed you?
Well, I really like Chris Middleton coming back for 5 years, $70 million. I know it seems like a lot right now, but when the cap space jumps $22 million next year, that's going to be very helpful for them. I also really like the addition of Grievous Vasquez, adding a dynamic score off the bench. Michael Carter-Williams is a good point guard, but he can't really score that well. So I think Grievous brings in an additional score to this team. Rashad Vaughn is a great draft pick out of UNLV, and obviously adding Greg Monroe, he's going to be their big scoring
that presence. Is huge.
And that's a great deal for them. The fact that they got him away from teams like the Knicks and the Lakers is unreal. And I think it shows how great of an athlete Giannis Antetokounmpo is and how much faith people have in Jabari Parker that they would go to a place like Greg Monroe would go to a place like Milwaukee where he can be maybe not even the number one guy, because I still think Jabari will be, by the end of the season, will be the best player on this team.
Well, I love the fact that the owners, I mean, they've been bold, they've been aggressive, and they've got a great head coach in Jason Kidd. I mean, he's done a great job putting these guys together.
Oh, he really has, and I wasn't really sure what he was going to do after the whole Brooklyn situation, but those were guys he played with, guys he was drafted with, and Kevin Garnett and Paul mm-hmm. Pierce, basically. I think, you know, guys like Jabari Parker and John Henson and Antetokounmpo, they really respect him because they idolized him growing up and they believe what he's talking about. And I think going forward that he's definitely the right coach for them. And maybe this is going to be the trend because, you know, it's always one up, one down. Kidd's doing great. Fisher's never going to be a good coach with the Knicks just because of that roster. But Jason Kidd's doing a good job. And so this could lead to future players getting coaching jobs.
Okay, so who's your favorite in the East?
It's still going to be the Cavs. You know, it's just like with LeBron James. And
Cavs, Frank, Bulls, Bucks?
Yeah, I think my top three are going to be the Cavs, the Bulls. You know, I think I'm going to go the Heat.
Okay.
I think the Heat, with Goran Dragic coming back for 5 years,
he
$90 million.
He is special. Ooh,
he's
like
very
him.
Special. Dwayne mm-hmm. Wade, Luol Deng re-upping, Chris Bosh, Josh McRoberts, Hassan Whiteside. And then you add Justice Winslow, the steal of the NBA yeah. draft. What a steal. You add him in for when Dwayne Wade needs a day off. By the time the end of the season, I think Miami might be the 3 seed in the East this year.
Okay, so we hit on the East. We didn't even get to the West, and we'll do that next week. Thank you so much, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
That, of course, was Joe George right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Want to pause and take time to thank all of our amazing guests in our lineup. Andy Pondillo from YSR with his MLB news and notes. Jared Greenberg from NBA TV. Scott Burr, the assistant director with athletic performance at the University of Missouri. Our very own Mark Spears from Yahoo Sports giving us the X's and O's with NBA free agency. And George Vesey, he kicked off our program tonight celebrating the U.S. Women's World Cup. Join us each and every weekend for the biggest and the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app.
Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.